Drew Spivak, who covers the Avs, joins us again. Drew, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me on again.
Is it as simple as saying they just started getting goaltending? Like, because you look at all their numbers, they're getting shot a lot and everything else. And their goal, like, is goaltending saving them every game?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it, honestly. It's been one of those things where since Semyon Varlamov, you know, has come back and he's been healthy, and, you know, once he got back from dealing with his off-ice issues and stuff, that, you know, since he's been back for this team, it's kind of been a big get for them, because, like you said, they're still getting outshot just about every single night, and not even just outshot, but they're getting outshot by large margins, you know, more often than not. And so it's kind of been a big benefit for them getting the goaltending back, and because they've just been up and down as far as the rest of the team goes. You know, they have nights where it's really weird. It'll seem like they're playing really well, and yet they're getting beat. And then there's nights where it seems like they're getting completely dominated, and yet they're winning a hockey game because they just get a timely goal and then great goaltending. So that's really been the story for this team over the last, you know, probably 2 months as they climbed themselves back into that playoff race.
You look at them on paper, and they've got some skilled players. Matt Duchene, only 46 points. Nathan MacKinnon, 44 points. Landeskog, only 38 points. Jerome McGinley, at his age, has 34, and is third on the team in goals with 17. They're young guys in Duchene, MacKinnon, and Landeskog. Are they a little disappointed that none of them have become more of a dominant, consistent offensive player?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, especially a guy like Matt Duchene, who has shown flashes. I mean, he got off to such a dreadful start this year. I think he had 2 goals in the first, month of the season into the early part of November there. And then it seemed like after the trade rumors kind of started flowing with Matt Duchene a little bit, he really started to kind of kickstart things and get it into gear. And he's really been pretty good for the most part ever since then. But, you know, I think they'd like to see a lot more consistency out of Duchene for sure. But I think the one guy that's really been the most disappointing is Nathan MacKinnon, because he just goes through large stretches where he almost just disappears. He looks lost and still confused out there. And this is probably something that you shouldn't see from Nathan MacKinnon being in his third season now. And, you know, he's playing the center role this year, which is what, you know, he was coming out of junior in the QMHL and whatnot. And so it's just kind of he's been a real disappointment. I think one of the biggest things, and Patrick Watts kind of talked about it a lot with this team, you know, this year, and, you know, especially when they struggle, is that he said that their best players have to play like their best players. You need guys like Duchene and MacKinnon and Gabe Landeskog and Jerome McGinley and, you know, those top six type guys. They've got to perform at a better level than they have this year. And if they're going to need to, if they're going to make any sort of a run, because this is a team that doesn't have a ton of depth, you know, in that bottom six there. So they got to rely on those top six guys to really get it going for sure.
Has the move to center just overwhelmed MacKinnon as far as defensive responsibilities? Is that why he's looked lost at times?
It seems like that could be it. Yeah, I mean, he's never been a guy, at least, you know, in his now, you know, 2.5-3 years now in the NHL, he's never been a guy that's been great on the defensive end. I think one of the bigger things with him is trying to find that right kind of, you know, line mates to play with him. There was a long stretch there where he was playing with Matt Duchene, and, you know, Duchene was playing on the right side, MacKinnon was the center, and then, you know, they'd have kind of just a couple different random guys playing on the left wing every once in a while during that kind of stretch. And it seemed like that was the time where he really started to get it going. And then it seemed like Matt Duchene kind of slowed down a little bit. And then when he did, MacKinnon kind of started slowing down a little bit too. So I think it all just kind of depends on the type of guys he's playing with. Now Patrick Waugh's got MacKinnon playing with Gabe Landeskog and probably Alex Tanguay again on the right side. You know, coming up tomorrow night against Edmonton, so we'll see if that can kind of get him kickstarted again. But yeah, it's still kind of just a struggle for him. It's really weird because he's so talented. You watch the guy play, and he's such a great player, and he has all the potential in the world. You just want to see him do it more consistently and put himself in the right position, both in the offensive and defensive ends, to become a better player.
Drew Spivak joins us talking Colorado Avalanche. They're in town tomorrow night, take on the Edmonton Oilers. Jerome McGinley, I was noticing a few games he was kind of starting on the fourth line. He's still averaging over 15 minutes a night. He's got 17 goals. Looks like he's going to score 20 again, maybe an outside chance at 25. But he is a worse on the team, minus 16. Is that why, you know, is that maybe just a misleading number? How has McGinley played overall this year?
You know, I don't think he's been bad at all. I think that number is kind of a misleading type thing, because he really hasn't played all that bad. And, you know, for the most part this year, especially at about the first month and a half, Jerome McGinley has been playing down to more of that bottom six type role, playing predominantly on the third line. And, you know, he's kind of been bumped up here over the last couple of games up to the, you know, top two lines again, and he's started to kind of kick it into gear a little bit again. But I think the one thing you look at with McGinley is, yeah, he's not quite the player that he once was. He doesn't have the scoring ability quite like he did the last couple of years. His skating has kind of declined a little bit, but he's still a pretty decent player. He's still a pretty solid player for this team, and he's not hurting the Avalanche. You know, you look at a guy like Alex Tenge, you watch him play this, he's only got 3 goals this season, and it's been a constant struggle for Alex Tenge. It's almost painful watching him play, and, you know, so many nights he hurts this team by, you know, making a bad pass or a bad turnover or going offside one too many times in a game, and so it's been kind of painful watching him, but you don't get that feeling with McGinley. It's not like he's still hurting the team, he's just kind of playing in a more reduced type role for him this year, and maybe it's something where Patrick Waugh was trying to do that to kind of keep him fresh a little bit and not wear him down, because they know they're going to need him for the stretch run over the last, you know, couple months here.
And lastly, two young players they got in the big trade, Grigorenko, who's played 52 games. And then, of course, on the other end, the young defenseman who up and down is Zadorov. He's only played 16 games, I know. So overall, how would you assess that trade? It clearly looks like they've lost it. How bad have they lost that deal?
Yeah, I mean, right now, it's, you know, it's definitely, I think, to put it maybe nicely, I guess would be to say it's kind of an inconclusive type thing right now, because you see what O'Reilly's doing up there in Buffalo in the year he's having being an all-star. He's been fantastic for that Sabres team this year. But, you know, you watch Grigorenko play, and he's spent a lot of the year playing down on the fourth line. He's kind of been bumped up recently, played on the top line with Matt Duchene the other night, and really looked well. But then he has games where he doesn't really do what I think the Avalanche expect from him, and he's not quite the player that I think they were hoping they were going to get from him. And so it's kind of been a disappointment from him, and, you know, with that standpoint. But then you look at Nikita Zadorov, I still honestly can't understand why he's not up with the Avalanche at this point. I mean, you watch him in the AHL. I mean, I don't get a chance to watch a ton of AHL games, but the ones I do watch, you know, he looks just completely dominant in the AHL, and they bring him up and, you know, he looks okay, but he looks like he's still learning how to play defense at the NHL level, and I don't think Patrick Waugh really has the trust in Nikita Zadorov, which is why they keep sending him down to the AHL. So I'd like to see him get more of an opportunity, because I think he's a better option than, you know, guys like Andrew Benarchuk and Zach Redmond, guys that they've got up currently. But for some reason, Patrick Waugh just doesn't want to put the trust in Zadorov. But I think when you talk about overall with the trade, I mean, it's kind of a way to see how it all kind of plays out. But right now, I don't think there's any question that the Avalanche probably don't look as good with this trade right now, but hopefully that'll turn around.
Drew, appreciate the rundown. Should be interesting tomorrow night. The Oilers just trying to play spoiler right now once again.
Yeah, absolutely. But at least, hey, you guys got Connor McDavid back now, so that's a good thing to watch for you guys.
Fans definitely loving it. Appreciate your time, Drew.
Anytime, Jason. Thanks for having me.